You are listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
I just don't like writing reports. A lot of people do. I don't like it. I like getting out there and designing and doing the logistics for field work and things like that. But when it comes down to just sitting down, because for archaeology reports, there are some fun things where after you've done all the BS in the report, you have time to sit down and kind of say, okay, what does this all mean? Well, what do we learn? Yeah. What do we add to the knowledge? That part is fun and interesting. Yeah. The rest of it is just boring BS. It's just, my God. I don't care about writing the method section. I don't care about writing the, you know, the all the other stuff. The cultural backgrounds on most of these things are just boilerplate from other reports, you know.
You call this archaeology? Get out of there, Dan!
Welcome to You Call This Archaeology? This is the show where two archaeologists talk about their week. You'll find out real quick that it's not all whips, guns, and Nazis. Come find out with us and have a great time. Join us live every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific time on the APN Facebook page at facebook.com/arcpodnet. That's facebook.com/arcpodnet.
Yo, welcome to You Call This Archaeology. Welcome, Junior Archaeologist.
Episode 2.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that could be our very catchphrase, that's true.
Nice. So this is the second episode of You Call This Archaeology.
Yeah.
It's still, if you're watching this live or at least on June 30th when we're recording this, or over the weekend, and probably for the week of 4th of July as well in the United States here, it's not on iTunes. You can't subscribe to this show yet,
but
because you will be able to soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we have a date?
No, we don't have a date because you can't get a date from those things. It's going to go live when they say it's going to go live.
Really?
So once I get this edited episode cut together and put up probably this weekend, I can submit the whole feed, which will have two episodes, which is I usually like to submit two episodes anyway on a new show. So we can submit the feed and then that will go live. Then it'll go to iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Music, and then those services will allow the subscription to go live at their leisure when they review the feed and make sure everything works well. So,
man, that sounds like a very Apple involved process.
It is. And they all do it though. They all make sure everything works. Even though they have a feed validation thing, like when I submit it through iTunes Connect, it says, you know, feed validated, waiting approval. So a human actually has to look at it and say, yeah, this is okay.
That's crazy.
I guess it's just to make sure you don't have like pornography in your logo or something.
Why?
I don't know. Cause they don't want it. So, but yeah, I'll kick it off again here too, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the idea, if you didn't watch last week, the idea behind this show is we're going to do this on Facebook Live every time we can. Except for next week, we won't be broadcasting this live because we probably won't have the data for it because Richie and I are going on a small project up in Elko and we might still be working at 3 p.m. Hopefully we're not, but we're either going to be still working or we're going to be driving back to Reno at that time. We're going to record an episode.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I haven't talked to Rich. I'm thinking about this literally right now.
Do it.
But maybe Saturday.
Yeah.
At some time, depending on what you're doing. I've got a thing for my Civil Air Patrol squadron, but I've got time after that. Maybe we can do a weekly live thing then and just have it be the second thing. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But this show is for figuring out, is for just us to just talk about what we did this week.
Like, I was very surprised that you were surprised that I didn't, that I wouldn't have already had the hotel booked. My hotel booked.
Well, I couldn't remember. There's so many things in my head. I couldn't remember if we talked about that for this project next week. You know, did you, so I emailed Richie just a couple days ago or messaged him and said, hey, did you book the hotel? Because I'm going to book the rooms, you know, because I hadn't booked mine. So, I hadn't booked mine. Just got too much going on. I kind of forgot about it. And you can't do that in these small...
No.
Elko is a small town. No matter if you're in Elko listening to this, I'm sorry you are offended, but it is a small town.
They probably might enjoy that.
And we do have a listener, too, a viewer, by the way. So
oh, my God. Welcome. Is it Tristan?
Whoever's on there, welcome. I can't see who it is.
But
and now there's two.
Yay.
So, anyway, we got this small project, and it's... We just need two nights, so nothing fancy. And we're probably not going to be in the hotel much because we're going to be leaving super early in the morning because it's an hour and a half drive out to the project area.
Yeah.
And then we only have 3 days to do this project, so it's going to...
You know what's interesting? We probably have a bazillion hotel stories, motel stories.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, and he said the first time he ever met you, we were talking at his birthday party the other week, and he said the first time he ever met you was when you were at the Clown Hotel together and you had that giant leak in your room.
Anybody knows the Clown Hotel in Tonopah, Nevada? My God. The one time my wife and I stayed there, we usually avoided it, but I can't remember what the reason is. We just joined the rest of the crew. And I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning with water dripping on my head from the ceiling. Because the guy upstairs, him and his wife, they'd gone to take a shower or something and pulled the knob right off the shower thing and it was just shooting water across the wall.
Really?
Yeah. It filled up their room.
Holy
crap. Yeah, it was totally filled up their room. I went upstairs immediately once I saw that the whole ceiling was covered in water.
Yeah.
And, threw a bunch of clothes on. I went upstairs and he's running around in his underwear going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Some foreign guy. He's like British or something. I don't know who he was.
Oh, damn. I was hoping it was a member of the crew.
No, it was not a member of the crew. Yeah. Well, and then, you know, we packed up all our stuff. You know, we didn't have, you know, everything pretty much just goes into bins and tosses back in the vehicle. So it wasn't that big a deal. We were still ready for the 7 o'clock crew departure. And we told the hotel, we're like, hey, all our stuff is packed up and out of that room. So, they're like, okay, cool. So when we got back to the room at 3:30, 4 o'clock that day, we went to the front desk and said, so what's our new room assignment? And he's like, no, you're back in the same room. We cleaned it up. And I'm like, what do you mean you cleaned it up? You replaced all the drywall because it was soaked through with water and it's going to get mold. And he's like, no, we cleaned it up. We dried out the drywall and put some fans in there. And I was like, we're not staying here.
What?
And he didn't have another room for us. So we moved.
Where did you move to?
We usually stay at the Jim Butler. The Mizpah wasn't open yet.
Oh,
yeah. It was still under remodel. We usually stay at the Jim Butler, but I think maybe the reason we were at the Clown is because Jim Butler was full, but we ended up going to that, what is that one that's up the hill with the casino? Station? No.
Oh, yeah, that is a station.
Is it? Yeah. It's up the hill up past the museum there. So that's where we ended up. And it was not the nicest room I've ever been in either. It wasn't the Clown Motel.
That's like a Nevada thing. Like the first time I went to Ely, I stayed at, I don't know if I should say it, but the Four Sevens?
The Four Sevens. Yeah.
And oh my God, I got a non-smoking room and they said, yeah, well, it's non-smoking now. We just like, you know, you're not smoking in it. So it's a non-smoking room.
Yeah, totally.
And it smelled gross.
Yeah.
And I don't think they liked me particularly much because they cleaned everyone else's room except mine, even though I didn't have the, the sign up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I feel like it was,
yeah,
I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
I mean, for our YouTube audience, they're going to know exactly what I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when I was on the Ruby and we went to Cedarville.
Yeah.
And I was taken on a tour and showed all the bars and restaurants I could not go to because of a certain reason.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, a different reason for that project because that's near a reservation. So if you looked slightly native, they did not like you in there.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're so native.
I know.
We had problems with you in El Centro. Just stopped by Border Patrol in El Centro. I'm pretty sure it was because Richie was in a car.
Oh man. You know, makes me think of my very first project, by the way. But I didn't know anything about like a company setting up your motel room for you.
Yeah.
So I went and made my own reservations and was staying in the hotel next door.
Nice.
And then suddenly the PI is like, you know, we're talking about motels. And I'm like, meh, mine's not so decent, whatever. And he's like, what do you mean? And so he had to go down and he had to pay for the hotel I had paid for and then put me in the other hotel.
So they'd already paid for a room and they weren't aware of the fact that you weren't in it?
Yeah.
Nice.
And that was both a good and bad motel.
Nice.
Because there was another crew there and supposedly they had dinner. It was like a stay bridge if you ever stayed there.
Yeah.
Where they served dinner.
Yeah.
So another crew would go there and they would bring their coolers and their Tupperware and make sure to be first in line and get all the food, all of it, every last scrap for like six people. And like this was like enough food for a whole hotel.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, but that wasn't the best part. It was also reimbursement. You probably got stories about that. Instead of per diem.
I've only got a couple stories about reimbursement because I actually only worked for one company that did reimbursement.
Same here.
I avoid all the rest.
Yeah.
You know, it was out in Vermont on a project, and I would have done anything they said, actually.
Really?
Including reimbursement, because I was coming from central southern Florida in friggin' August. So, I was like, wait a minute, a project in Vermont? Yes, I will go. I don't care what, if you want me to sleep six to a room, plus no per diem, plus, you know, $10 an hour, sounds great. So yeah, we did reimbursement there, and it was an ongoing project. So yeah. The PI, well, I think it was a PI and maybe the crew chief, or maybe just the crew chiefs. They had the 5 or 6 of us that were starting that week.
Yeah.
In their hotel room, they had kind of a suite, and we were sitting there doing the onboarding stuff, and they told us how to do the reimbursement. Yeah. And then they told us how to scam it. And
oh, really?
They told us how to buy a receipt book at like office supply place, but don't make the receipts in like all the same handwriting, like have your friends do it. And don't use consecutive numbers on your receipts. Like pull from different, like buy a package of like 6 receipt books and use ones from different, you know.
Oh, wait, were they also one of the companies that wouldn't pay for alcohol?
Yeah, well, and that was their corporate structure. You know, there wasn't like a small CRM firm. This is a massive corporate, international corporation.
It's always that way, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and they're not even being told not to do that, honestly. I mean, I've given them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
It's their government and military contracts that require their accounting practices to be so crazy.
Yeah.
Because the government doesn't pay for that, you know? So they get audited by the government. It's like if you work on a Caltrans project in California.
Yeah.
Caltrans reserves the right to audit your books.
Oh,
so they want to make sure that they're getting all the money that they're supposed to be spending on. Yeah, so all that stuff. So anyway, I understand having the limitations of the accounting. It's just frustrating when you get down to our level that we have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, but it is what it is. It was a good project. I loved being in Vermont, but then there were people getting their per diem kicked back because they were putting like, they were trying to think of expensive things to put on there. And they put like lobster on there. Like I had a lobster dinner for $35. You can't get a lobster dinner in Burlington, Vermont, except for like one place.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like not the kind of thing you buy up there. So,
but you know what's interesting? The only reimbursement project I worked on, I also had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because our motel was right next door to a karaoke bar.
Nice.
And we found a Mexican place right next to the hotel that would, if we asked them, they would put down tacos instead of beer. So we could order as many beers as we wanted, and they would all be tacos. Oh, wait, that's probably our Facebook Live going.
Nice.
Ha. Huh. Anyway.
Well, you know, the one place after we got there, they found this, somebody found this, like, convenience store. And I want to say it was a similar thing where it was like a... It was like a Mexican street taco like place in the back that also had pizza. So it was really weird. But in the front, they had like beer and liquor and cigarettes and things like that. And when they wrote you a receipt, when you got a receipt, it was an itemized receipt, but didn't have the items on it.
Ooh.
So it had the individual prices, but not the items. And that was apparently acceptable by a corporate. So
really?
There was like, we had like these 2 15 passenger vans, and that's the first place we would stop every single day after work, out of our way on the way to the hotel. And there's just a line of archaeologists out there just buying beer and cigarettes. So, yeah. But you know, receipts per diem makes people do crazy things too. Like, well, two things. One, first, people don't think about what that actually means. So they're like, oh, to get my full per diem, I have to spend all this money. It's like, but you're still a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
You're still spending the money on things.
Yeah.
And then getting reimbursed for it. Like, I knew this one girl, she just went out and bought, like, $150 worth of groceries she didn't need. Because she's like, well, that way I'll get it all back. I was like, yeah, but if you didn't spend it, you'd still have it. You're not getting extra. That's not how this per diem works. But then also, I knew people that would either stand out front of the grocery store and wait and wait for people with a big cart of groceries to chuck their receipt in the trash and then go dumpster diving for that trash, for the receipt.
Oh, my God. So, I got told about that, too.
Yeah. You just got to hope it's not a modern, like, credit card receipt with your name on it.
Oh.
With somebody else's name on it.
Boo.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So.
Or just buy your own receipt printer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Or buy your own Square.
Just jack that stuff around. I feel like I need to mention, because I keep looking back here.
Yeah.
This is the first.
Ooh.
Well, it's the first live podcast. It's the second podcast I've recorded with the new Behringer ZenX 1204 USB mixer. So you can't really see it too well probably on either of our videos. But it's pretty cool. And I'm still getting used to using it. So I have no idea how we sound. It looks okay on the waveform over here on my computer. But
Well, we probably sound pretty boxy on the Facebook feed.
Yeah, well, the Facebook feed's not getting this mixer audio. We'll figure out how to do that. I have a cord that Richie brought, but I don't know how to get the audio from the mixer to the bottom of my phone there. Because I've got an iPhone 7 Plus and it's got the weird lightning jack thing. I have the adapter. But I don't know how to plug this into the mixer to get it over there. So we'll figure that out.
But what else was I thinking? Shovel testing.
Yeah.
We're doing it right.
Yeah, we're doing it next week.
Is that like a first in Nevada? Is that something you're going to present at the NAAs? We did shovel testing in this whole state.
I did it once before.
Really?
So, yeah. Honestly, I've got mixed feelings about shovel testing in Nevada because...
Yeah?
You're not... We don't generally do it, obviously, because the geology here is such that most things are sitting on the surface. Yeah. However, we kind of take that a little too far sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you get into some of these valleys with a nice, like, alluvial fan, you know, that's really old. And you've got living surfaces on there. And maybe, like, for example, this winter we've had in Nevada, we've had a lot of moisture, a lot of water, a lot of snowmelt. Well, that's happened before, you know. Yeah. It's not the first time. So that's happened before. So anytime where you have a lot of material washing down from the hills, and maybe there's a spring up there, maybe there's a river, I don't know, and it's dried up now, who knows? But you've got something coming down, bringing sediment with it. It's going to cover up artifacts.
I know. Hang on. Haha. Well,
Richie's gonna reset his camera while we do this. The Facebook live feed is still going. I'll take this opportunity to mention, look for the links on the show notes when we eventually get this up, and it's probably going to be arcpodnet.com/ YCTA. You call this archaeology? I think those are the right letters. Anyway, check this out, because we have a link to Richie's YouTube channel, which is called Happy Archaeology Fun Time, and that's where his video is going. So none of this commentary will be saying that, because Richie's dressed in, frantically looking for a battery or a plug.
Oh, there it is. Of course, it's in the charger.
Yes.
Which is weird, since, what was I thinking? It showed it had two bars.
Yeah.
Basically two-thirds. So it went from two-thirds to empty.
Well, it's dead now.
What?
So, nice.
Oh my god, so much editing is going to have to go on after this.
I know. So it happens when you're shooting video. And now, and we're live, so nothing I can do about this.
Ooh, although, I could always zap the live feed.
Mm-hmm.
I could always, like, record it.
Just take that, yeah. Anyway, I'll go on a little more with some of the other stuff I did this week while Richie's setting that up. Did a lot of editing. I'll say that every time we record this show. Did a lot of editing. Until we have the income coming in to afford to hire an editor and probably an audio engineer at the same time.
Do you have any
more cards? Not on me. Yeah. Because I'm hoping we can start generating some more revenue, because as you're watching this...
Oh, wait, you should tell them about all the, the work.
I'm going to. That's what I'm doing right now. So as you're watching this, tomorrow, well, you can go to arcpodnet.com/members right now and find out about the three membership levels that Tristan and I came up with. And we're working on some other graphics for that, too. It's just kind of preliminary stuff that's up there. But the benefits you get from the membership levels are still up there. So they're $5, $10, and $20. I feel like I'm on, like, an NPR fund drive.
That's the best part.
I know, right? So to get your tote bag, no, we don't have tote bags. We should, though.
To get your coffee mug.
I know, to get your coffee mug. Get your nice little APN coffee mug here. It won't be exactly like that, because I got that from somewhere else, but... it'll be pretty close. I have the logo on it and things like that. Anyway, we'll have three different levels. At the basic level, $5 a month, you're basically getting access to high quality downloads of the episodes, which we're trying to figure out how to do right now. But you also get access to our Slack team for members only, where you can interact with the hosts. And I think that's where some of the high quality downloads are going to live anyway, because we have unlimited storage over there. And then you start moving up. You move up into the standard level, which is $10 a month, which is still, think of it as supporting the APN at that rate, not necessarily as, you're still getting stuff for it, but it's also supporting the APN. You're getting show stickers, APN sticker, you're getting some other things. And then at the professional level, $20 a month, we'll have all that, and including training episodes, not just audio, but video as well. So we'll have training courses and things like that that'll just be available to you. My goal is to have at least about 60 minutes of new training material every month, and then a new course at least every 3 months. So we'll find out if that's beneficial to people. I think it will be, because if you're doing $20 a month, 3 months is $60, and a lot of training courses out there are $7,500 to $300. So if you're getting one training course every 3 months and you're paying $60, and that's all you were getting, that'd be pretty good. So And we keep getting a few other users out there. Feel free to leave a comment on this and just let us know who you are. And you know, thanks for joining us. So, and Richie's hand is in the video. Okay, there and we go.
That was super embarrassing. It's because I thought I formatted the card and deleted last week's show, but I did not.
Focus it.
It should be. Oh, darn it, really?
The Happy Archaeology Funtime feed is going to be real awesome on this.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. There you go. All right.
Alrighty. So that was embarrassing.
That's all right. We're working out the kinks on this. We kind of decided to just do this as Facebook Live kind of at the last minute last week. And
that actually should be a regular thing.
It should be a regular thing. I like it. I like setting up for it. We'll perfect this process as we go along.
Or it could just be part of the charm.
Could be part of the charm. Yeah.
Oh my
this
God.
Is intended to be the raw footage anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we'll polish it and put up the audio and put up the video so you can watch those later on.
Actually, I was curious. I'm actually curious to see who is watching.
Yeah. We had three and now there's back down to one. So
what?
But I think, you know, I actually did some research on Facebook Live videos. You should really always shoot your video with the intent that most people are going to watch it on rebroadcast.
True.
So,
hey, 34 shares. Hey, 34 dude. Views, one share.
Nice. Nice. Ah, all right. Now we have
please
two.
Share some more.
Now we have two views.
Oh my God.
Okay. And we can see the chat too. So if you put down a comment, we might be able to even answer a question if we're paying attention.
God, you need really good eyesight. Aren't we supposed to have good eyesight as archaeologists?
I know, right? Yeah.
Wait, but about shovel testing.
Back to shovel testing. Back to shovel testing. Yeah. So we are doing a little bit next week, but I was saying if you're in an alluvial fan or something like that that's had multiple episodes of deposition, then you're going to have buried cultural material. You know, the first excavation I did in Nevada, we found going down 10, 20, sometimes more centimeters cultural material.
Wait, was that same project? That was my first one in Nevada?
No. This was out in Battle Mountain.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So it was... you know, we were finding good cultural material in buried soils and buried living surfaces, as they call it. You know,
wait, were these shovel tests as we know them in the Midwest and the East and everything else?
I wasn't on the shovel testing phase.
Ah.
I was when we got to excavation of it.
Ah.
So we were doing 10 by 10 meter block excavation of this whole area.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So we did probably, I don't know, 8-10 blocks across the whole area of 10 by 10 meters.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it was good. And in other areas, like, this is why the Forest Service wants us to shovel test on the sites next week.
Yeah.
They're known sites. We're just doing they've never been evaluated. So we're doing an evaluation of them to determine whether or not they need to go to another phase of
Are they going to be testing. Crazy, weird, California-type shovel tests where they have to be square?
No, they can be round.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
Around 30 centimeter. No collection on artifacts.
What?
Yep. So East Coast people might be like, what the hell? But that's pretty typical out here in Nevada, even for an excavation. For an excavation, you'll usually collect. But for shovel tests, it just depends on what the agency wants. So.
Ha! Alrighty. Yeah. Well, for the YouTube audience, we are now back.
Kind of the Wild West for the YouTube audience right now.
That's even better, though. Oh, my God. Are you going to leave that in for the podcast, the audio podcast?
I'm not going to cut it. So
yay. Yeah. Oh, my God. So
hey, I was still talking and providing value.
True.
Yeah.
But that's even better because now you have a reason to watch both.
That's right. That's right.
Although it's going to take me about a bazillion years.
I know.
To edit it.
I know. So what else did you do this week that was archaeological? Probably not much, I would imagine, eh?
Well, it depends. I mean, I did the usual field tech thing, although I don't do it as much anymore, of keeping in touch with friends and seeing what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And,
networking.
Yeah. So I was like because I had been sending in emails to, like, a regular contact, and they always get back to me. Mm-hmm. Always. And for the past month or so, it's been dark.
Yeah.
And so I emailed a mutual friend of ours, one of my favorite crew chiefs, and she's like, oh, yeah, that company just closed and just closed that branch office. And it was sudden. It wasn't like a thing where they saw it coming.
Oh, wow.
And it was
somebody saw it coming.
Well, yeah, but not them.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know if we have anything to add to that we can without saying names, because when we're in the bar, we obviously talk a lot about this, but I feel like it's one of those things where it is a shame because for every crappy company, like the one we worked for down by the airport here in Reno, that closes down and should close down. I mean, not necessarily because you know, there were bad people working there because we weren't exactly maybe doing the best work.
As long as we're not bad-mouthing company, I have no problem praising good companies.
Yeah.
So, you know, we shouldn't slander a company because it's just our opinions. But and maybe we should preface it with that. So saying if we say something about a company and we say their name on the air, it really is just our opinions.
True.
And we're not trying to influence anybody else's opinion. I would always say, too, like if I worked for XYZ archaeology company 5 years ago and I say, damn those guys, it was terrible, I hated my experience. Well, the person or people that probably made that experience terrible are probably gone now.
Yeah.
So you can't, you know, crucify a company forever because you had a bad experience there because of the turnover is so high.
That's
true. Now, if it's the owner that caused your problems, then, you know.
And some companies are just weird. Like, they do really good work and you see them at every conference. But they don't treat their field techs very well. And yet they have got surprisingly loyal people, which is, it's almost cult-like. At some companies.
Loyalty is purchased, I feel like, in a lot of ways. Because people with...
Not $16 an hour.
Yeah, but people with permanent jobs, even at $16 an hour, are afraid to lose those because they want the stability.
Yeah, but what about the field techs who are like, you know, I love this company and I'm being paid less than everyone else in this entire region.
Again, people with jobs... will take a lot of crap, even if it means they're not getting paid as much, even if it means they're asked to do things they don't like in this field. It's unfortunate, but in this field, people will just continue doing these horrible things because they have a job.
I mean, you know? Is that the reason you got into archaeology? No. Is to have a job? You can do anything and just have a job. Well, that's what I don't understand about some people.
Yeah.
It's
Well, and that's where financial planning comes in. I feel like we don't have enough financial planning in this field. So if we don't tell people enough, like, hey, you're new in this field.
Yeah.
We understand you just got out of college or maybe you just started or whatever you're doing. But chances are, if you're not broke yet, you will be. Uh-huh. And
you definitely will be.
Yeah. And try to find those jobs early on. Again, take what you can get, but try to find those jobs early on where you can have a decent per diem.
Yeah.
And then maybe make some sacrifices as well. If you can hook up with somebody in the crew and maybe room with them, if you're just getting like, I mean, I wouldn't do this because I don't want to, but maybe room with somebody to save money or, you know, go camping, do whatever you're going to do and do that for the first few months of the field season.
Yeah.
Take the shots, you know, do whatever you got to do. Put some money in the bank. That way, when you get that crappy job, you're not locked in because of the paycheck.
You can run away.
You can run away. You can say, listen, you guys suck. I have enough money to live on for the next month. I'm going to go find another job.
That actually makes me think of something. Like, I keep... something. Now yours just went down.
Oh, it overheated.
Wow. Ha.
It's probably because of the battery.
Interesting. So just for those of you who are wondering what is happening, our Facebook Live just went down because of the miracle of Apple.
All right. Well,
wow.
That's fine.
Oh, my God.
I guess I shouldn't have that plugged in while I'm using it.
Really?
Yeah, it was just jacking the battery up.
Interesting. You figure Apple would have taken care of that.
They did. They shut it down because of temperature.
No, but I meant, you know, you figure they would have had some power management.
Yeah, I guess not. I don't know what's happening. So.
Ooh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But just to keep going, because obviously we still got an audio audience.
Yep.
But was I thinking, you know, I keep recommending to people, why don't you try Uber or Lyft? And people are like, I have more self-respect than that. And I'm like, you know, and then I was thinking about it because, you know, you said, you know, when the collective was at a different place, you ran into someone who you wouldn't have expected to be joining Lyft. Am I wrong?
No. Yeah. My banker.
Yeah. See? And he's probably got plenty of money.
He's got tons of money. He's a banker and he just wanted something else to do on the side. You know, it's almost just something. So these aren't stigmatized positions anymore.
Well, apparently they are. Well,
it's only because people think they are, you know, I mean, they don't have to be.
Yeah. But it's like, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, is that more stigmatizing than going on unemployment? How many field techs do we know who won't go on unemployment?
Right. Right.
Like they want field teching to be a full time, like their job, like their like career, but it can't be because of the nature of the job. It's contract to contract.
Well, and sometimes, I feel like the, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Sometimes I feel like the whole unemployment thing, like I didn't go on unemployment until I think it was that last place I actually worked before I started my own company months later. Really? I went on unemployment after that. And it was primarily because we were coming up into winter. And, you know, right when I got laid off, it was like Halloween.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm not going to try to find anything else. I'm just going to go on unemployment. It'll carry me through the winter with my savings and I'll be fine. But realistically, you should contact whatever unemployment agency you should. And that can get sticky if you work in a lot of different states. But
that's true.
Wherever you have residency is where they should be paying in unemployment. So you should contact them, get set up with them. So all you have to do the minute your job ends is make a phone call.
Yeah.
And you've got to check the next week. Yeah. You know, that'll carry you through so you don't have to dip into your savings. And it's not a stigma. It's a thing that you're paying into.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that just went dead.
No, that's live.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, interesting. So it updates. Sorry. For those of you who can't see on video, I'm also watching our audio waveform. And apparently the refresh rate is super slow.
Yeah. So anyway, people just think that if they go on unemployment, if you're, I guess, a conservative and you have issues with government assistance and things like that. But the fact is, you're paying into it. Your company's paying into it. That money's not free and coming from the United States government.
Yeah. And aside from one company I can think of, very few CRM companies will like put the kibosh on like your unemployment.
Right.
I mean, I do know one company that will always claim, I've heard stories, I'm not going to say their name, but I've heard stories that they always claim that they offer you employment, even when they didn't.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You just got to hit the blue button. Neat. Oh, neat. So, did we get a question, by the way? I saw you typing.
No, I was just creating the new video. I think live is done.
What?
We'll go online. Hey, keep talking.
All right. Let's see, what else was there? Oh my God, I totally just lost my train of thought. Wait, so do you have shovel testing screens?
No.
What?
I tried to borrow some. I call a couple people, but then nobody has any available because it's Nevada. And so I'm going to build some.
Really?
Just some hand screens, 2x4s and mesh.
Neat.
They're not going to be crazy awesome, but they'll get the job done.
Oh my God, that makes me think. Weren't we working with an archaeologist a few years ago who considered a mark of archaeological awesomeness if you built your own screens?
A lot of people think that. It's like a lightsaber.
And wasn't he super proud that he had it in an exhibition?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess. I don't even know. I don't even remember. It's like I'd just rather buy somebody's good screens.
Yeah.
There's that company up in New England. What the hell's the name? I can't remember who they are. They make good screens, though. And then there's those PVC ones that Focus Design makes down in California.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a little pricey, but shit, you'll probably never buy another one.
Didn't we use one of those?
Yeah, we used one of those on a project a few years ago in California. Yeah. I actually looked at those for this with shipping two just like hand shaker screens.
Yeah.
Not like we don't need like the stand-up ones for this project, especially since I found out we're walking possibly a couple miles into this one site because access is done. Well, I wouldn't want to carry a big ass freaking screen on that. I've done it before, but.
So have I.
Yeah. But anyway, I looked at their screens. Problem is I looked at them like 2-3 days ago. And shipping, it would have cost like $170, I think, for two of those hand shaker screens plus shipping.
Really?
But they wouldn't get here in time. So, and I probably won't ever need them again. So I'm not going to buy them. You know, I was going to buy them and then maybe give them away for the APN or something. But
Better. Personally hand signed by Chris Webster.
Oh my God. I don't know about that. Anyway, it's... who knows? So I'm gonna probably put those together on Sunday or Monday.
Yeah.
You know, just basic 2x4s. I'll reinforce them with some brackets on the outside probably and a couple handles. But I gotta find mesh. That's the whole problem. 1/4-inch mesh. You can find that, but I still, even though we're gonna use them for only like 45 shovel tests total, so like 20 some odd a piece. I'm still gonna put shitty mesh on there unless I can't find good stuff.
Double mesh.
Well, you still only want 1/4-inch though.
True.
If you don't get it perfectly lined up, you run into problems.
Yeah.
You know. So.
We should probably talk about networking. No, I'm thinking about it. Wait. Oh my God, is YouTube Live gonna work? Third try.
Maybe.
Because I know the way I do it. Basically, you know, you just run into people and then you're like, "What's going on?"
Well, that is networking.
True.
Yeah.
Huh. But then I feel like you and Bill perfected the whole LinkedIn thing.
Yeah. Let me get back to the audio here. We should be
back live. Sorry about that. I had my iPhone plugged in so it didn't die. Because currently Facebook Live only works on phones and tablets. So,
yeah.
But while it was plugged in and trying to do that, it just completely overheated. So,
wait, you can't run it through your computer?
You can't do Facebook Live on a computer.
Really?
Yeah, it's only through iOS devices.
Interesting.
Well, iOS and Android devices, and only some Android devices.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, we'd moved on to listen to the audio of this. Go to arcpodnet.com/ YCTA /2 to hear the audio for this.
Yeah.
And then most of the video is up on Richie's YouTube channel at Happy Archaeology Fun Time, although we had an issue there too. two video issues this whole time. We should just record this and not go live next time and then just put it up.
What?
Man, it's too crazy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm fine with the little errors because I don't think anybody really cares.
Be less perfect.
I know. So
yeah.
Anyway, you're talking about networking a little bit. Yeah, I mean now's the time, right?
Yeah.
I mean we're almost in July. If you haven't made contacts yet, even new people who just graduated a month ago, I mean you've already made probably lifelong contacts if you had one project.
Yeah.
You
know? Or if you've gone to a conference.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you just graduated, you may not have gone to a conference. I never went to an archaeology conference when I was an undergrad.
Really?
I went to the AAAs once because our program is more anthropology focused. So I didn't even really know about the SAAs.
Yeah.
And I went to the Plains Conference once, too, while I was an undergrad. Pretty much a regional archaeology conference. So I guess that was the first archaeology conference I really went to. And
although I guess to get the best of a conference, you kind of need to like be... I don't know, you have to have some skills. Like, you should, I mean, we don't necessarily want to point people to their podcast, but like the Art of Charm, stuff like that. Like, how to network with people.
We interviewed the Art of Charm, Jordan Harbinger, on CRM Archaeology
that.
Podcast.
That's how I found out about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you use the search on arcpodnet.com/CRM Arc Podcast on the right side and type in Art of Charm, you'll find that episode. Yeah. And,
because like, I feel like we're not the most social people. So sometimes people go to conferences thinking they're going to be making networking and they just sit there and like watch the things and then don't talk to interact with anyone.
Yeah. And that happens. And I feel like my very first SAAs, I went.
Yeah.
I had the program. I highlighted everything I wanted to see.
Yeah.
And they have these symposia, in case you're not familiar, they have these symposia that, you know, there's going to be, you know, 10 to 15, sometimes 20 papers on a single general theme, right? Well, a lot of people these days, they'll just go sit in one thing because that's their focus. That's their area of interest. But I didn't have a focus when I went to the first SAAs I went to.
Was that Sacramento?
No, that was actually St. Louis.
Really?
Yeah, back in grad school, 2010-ish.
Yeah.
I just had this ridiculous schedule. Like I would see one paper and then I'd rush out the door, go across the hotel room, all across the conference center with another one and then to another one and to another one.
Yeah.
And by the time I got to like lunch or I got to the end of the day, I was so beat down. I just went back to the hotel and didn't do anything. That is not the way to do it.
No, shame on you. Like, I mean, how many people like are sitting there and then they get into a conversation with someone they're sitting next to and then next thing they know, they're offered a job.
Yeah.
Like I know I met one person on the Ruby. That was like her story. She went to the Society for California Archaeology. Mm-hmm. She happened to be sitting next to someone from a company that was working on this project. And they said, hey, send in your resume. And the next day she got a call and was out to, I don't know if it was Wells or Cedarville, but someplace.
That doesn't sound like it was a benefit to her.
Yeah. But then she was on unemployment. She had been working in construction before that.
Yeah. Well. I'm just giving them crap. Wells and Cedarville are two very different places.
Oh, you're telling me.
Yeah. I'd actually rather go to Cedarville. It's right next to the mountains.
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
But, and then what was it? At the GBACs, the same, I was just like sitting there talking to a buddy. And then a buddy of mine introduced me to someone mutual. She said, hey, we got some projects going. Send in your resume.
Yeah.
That's not even the most amazing thing that happened to me at that conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, after the final banquet, there was a rumor that people were going to be meeting up at this bar. And so it's right next to my apartment here. It's actually down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I'm just going to walk over there. There's probably not going to be no one there and walk back. And then suddenly a whole bunch of people show up.
Nice.
Yeah. And then a couple, like, two or three grad students. I was pretty drunk at this point. wanted to come up and meet me. Like, how do you know me? They said, well,
the famous Richie Cruz.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if they knew my name. It's like, yeah, we know you. We like know your hat. Not this hat, but a different hat. But, you know, it's like, yeah. All right. You know, which I guess happens.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's like, you can become archaeologist famous.
You can.
Yeah. Like look at someone who's going to be celebrating the end of the world. He's got his own Facebook page, doesn't he?
Who's that?
Someone will inherit the earth.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
You want to tell any stories about him?
Not specifically, no.
What?
Too many people might see this.
That's true.
I did almost interview him at the last Society for California Archaeology meeting, though.
Yeah.
We just couldn't get together.
It's amazing to me that there are like so many like Facebook pages, and they didn't even start these pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I know the Inherit the Earth one, he didn't start it.
Yeah.
He just like has so many fans
in the world. I know. So. Anyway, I guess I want to talk about a couple other things that that I did this week.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of last week, so I probably mentioned it. I don't know if I did or not, but I taught an intro to podcasting class here at the Collective right in this room that's behind us here.
Yeah.
But I hope to have that. I hope to have some stuff related to that, to the advanced classes we just set up.
Really?
I think the Collective is going to have a podcasting membership go live here soon.
Oh, did you want to plug the Collective?
Well, I kind of am right now, the Reno Collective. If you happen to be in Reno, then come on and join us. But and especially if you want to do a podcast, I don't know what the final numbers are going to be, but it's going to be a pretty reasonable price to use this studio time.
Yeah.
With all the gear, everything, these mics, the mixer, everything's going to be in here. We'll have eventually computers for doing the recording and the editing if you want to spend time doing that here.
Neat.
And it'll be completely set up. There's a whole other room back there that is actually kind of storage right now because they had to get in here in a hurry and move some stuff into there, and that's going to be cleared out, and it might end up being a little more co-working just for podcasting. So,
and it doesn't have to be about archaeology, because isn't there like a video game podcast that's recorded with these mics?
It is. It's recorded with me, these mics right here, the Overwatch Hero podcast. Go check it out. So I think that's what it's called. Yeah. So, because I guess the characters within that game are called heroes or whatever.
Yeah.
So then they just kind of profile one on each episode.
Yeah.
So. Which is pretty cool. It's well put together. I've listened to it, even though I don't know anything about the game. The podcast is
weren't you just editing an Archaeo Gaming episode?
I was. Yeah, we just recorded one for the Archaeology Show, which will be out tomorrow as you're listening to this, July 1st.
Is it on anything interesting?
It was really kind of introducing the topic of Archaeo Gaming to the general public, because that's what this podcast is for.
Yeah.
Because we have an entire podcast about Archaeo Gaming called 8-Bit Test Pit, which has kind of been on a hiatus for a little while as the hosts deal with school and things. They're, you know, graduate students and they have teaching schedules and things like that. So we're trying to figure that out. But should be coming back soon, hopefully. And but basically just introducing the topic of Archaeo Gaming to a wider audience and people that didn't really know what it is. So
interesting. Hopefully he's got it condensed into a does he have like a little like 5-second elevator spiel?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, his basic thing about what Archaeo Gaming is it's talking about not just the sort of the ethics and representation of archaeology within video games, but also the archaeology of video games, of online worlds, of code, of things like that.
Interesting.
And going back to, you know, where's the code from the first Pac-Man, you know, video game, you know, I mean, we have that, but is that the kind of thing that should be preserved? It's a cultural icon.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredibly important. So it should be preserved somewhere. And that preservation is really archaeology. Archaeology doesn't have to be dirt archaeology. You know, it can be other things. It's preservation of human cultural material and cultural experiences, really. That's kind of verging on anthropology, but it's, and I think Archaeo Gaming really more is anthropology. Maybe it's Anthro Gaming is what it should be. But this was developed by archaeologists, so now it's called Archaeo Gaming. We stole it. But I totally agree with that, because archaeology, even if you looked way into the future, let's look at Star Trek archaeology, right?
Yeah.
Don't do any digging. There's no digging. They just use a transporter, and they burn through the dirt with phasers, and then they beam it out, right?
You say that.
I know. It's still archaeology, though. Yeah. You know, it's still, well, it's xenoarchaeology. But
interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a good episode. The Archaeology Show episode 19 kind of gave you a nice primer and a good discussion about about archaeogaming. And then go check out the documentary Atari Game Over. That's what Andrew Reinhardt.
Oh God, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, he was on that as the lead archaeologist, and it was about their excavation of all the worst video game ever designed. They call it the ET game that Atari made for the 2600.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Wait, so aside from doing hotels and editing, been doing anything else?
Yeah, I've been doing a little report writing. I've been trying to finish up, trying to pay the bills, honestly. I don't want to do it. It's really stuff I don't want to do, but I have to do it. I just don't like writing reports. A lot of people do. I don't like it. I like doing the work. I like getting out there and designing and doing the logistics for field work and things like that. But when it comes down to just sitting down, because archaeology reports, there are some fun things where after you've done all the BS in the report, you have time to sit down and kind of say, okay, what does this all mean? Well, what do we learn? Yeah. What do we add to the knowledge? That part is fun and interesting. Yeah. The rest of it is just boring BS. It's just, my God, I don't care about writing the method section. I don't care about writing all the other stuff. The cultural backgrounds on most of these things are just boilerplate from other reports, you know?
But if anyone out there is a newly promoted crew chief or project manager, do you have any tips on how to suddenly get up to speed in report writing?
Yeah. Pester. The only thing you can do is be annoying, because they'll shut you up by saying, here, take a look at this. Always try to look at the reports that from work that you were on, so you can see how your work was represented. Sometimes they just simply won't give them to you, but especially if you're a traveling, you know, shovel bum.
Yeah.
If you work on a project, and then the other big problem is, let's say you finished up a 3-month project with some company, and then you're off doing something else. The final report for that, I feel like, I don't know what the legalities of this are, but I feel like you have the rights to see that.
Yeah.
You're on the project. So there's that. But you're not permitted with the agency, more than likely. So maybe you don't actually have the rights to see that. And if it's on private land, you almost certainly don't have the rights to see that. But ethically, I think you should. And I think we can hand out copies to these things. I wouldn't do it for some stuff. Just because you do get into some weird ethical concerns. But so you got it. Not a one size fits all. That being said, while you're there, try to see if you can see that report. Because if you finish a 3-month project, the final report might not be ready for 9 months. You know, then you're off on something else. But ask to see other reports that company has. They have them in the office.
Yeah.
So ask to see them. And just familiarize yourself by reading reports and by looking at reports, what the requirements are.
Yeah.
And then you can get, you know, you can kind of get into that. And then, you know, like I said, be annoying. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. So if somebody comes down and says, hey, you know, of you 20 people, we need one person to come in the office and, you know, do this and help out with this. And you're just like, oh, I'm familiar with your guys' whole procedure. I can do that. You know, so.
Oh, and if you're still in school, if anyone out there is still in school and you happen to be at a school that had done CRM work in the past, they probably have them laying around, the reports.
Yeah, they might. And we got we had 3 more viewers there. Thanks for coming back if you saw part one of this. So,
but actually, that's the way I probably still got it someplace in my bookshelf, but for my section 106 class at the school I went to, they just like, here, read this report.
Yeah,
familiarize yourself with the, you know, how to write a report.
Yeah, well, the course I went to for my graduate school, we basically were writing site reports for sites that were, I guess, excavated and partially analyzed by grad students in the 70s, but they didn't, it was rescue archaeology. They were creating a reservoir. So it was basically just, let's get this shit out as fast as we can.
Yeah.
And then no work was done to it after that. So I reanalyzed the entire collection because it was a preliminary analysis was done so they could bag it.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, this is pottery. And
so
I took everything back out, recataloged it, reanalyzed it, and then wrote a site report following the Georgia Site Files report writing guidelines. It was a CRM report. It was put in the Georgia Site Files. If you go do a lit search and you're in that area, you're going to find my thesis.
Neat.
It's basically a site report.
Cool.
So that's the benefit to going to a CRM program. I can't speak for all of them that they're all going to be like that. But this program happened to be like that.
Yeah.
Which brings up something real fast. Because I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. We do have a new advertiser for July for the We just inked this deal yesterday. Really? For it's going to go out probably on the I guess we could put it on this one, but he didn't pay for it. we put the CRM Archaeology podcast, the Archaeotech podcast, and the Women in Archaeology podcast. It's going to be an ad from Simon Fraser University up in British Columbia.
Neat.
Up in Vancouver. Yeah, they contacted me. They've got a heritage resource management program up there. That's what they call it up there. It's basically a CRM master's program.
Neat.
And we're actually interviewing them for the CRM Arc podcast on Sunday, which will go out. I'm doing a quick turnaround and taking the episode we actually recorded with a friend of ours. And bumping that 2 weeks so I can get him in early. Because their deadline for this program is August 7th.
Oh, gotcha.
We didn't say that in the promos because we want this to run throughout. He might be running this again. So you'll be hearing promos for it, but you'll also hear that he'll say it in the episode because it's going to go out July 5th. But if you're interested in a heritage or cultural resource management master's degree, they're taking people for the fall right now, and Simon Fraser is the only university in Canada accredited in the U.S.
Really?
Yeah, so you can get up there super easy. They work with you for tuition and all that stuff. It's pretty reasonable, and go up there and get your master's degree in Vancouver, Canada, which is a great place.
You know, it'd be interesting to do, you know, if you did follow-ups with some of the other programs you've talked to before.
Yeah, and we should. And it's just really my laziness why we haven't done that. What? So I need to contact them again and see how they're doing and maybe talk to some students.
Even better.
Yeah. So.
Ooh.
Anyway, yeah, I wanted to make sure we get that in because that's pretty exciting. And people coming into July that think, oh, I want to go to grad school in the fall, which is a whole other conversation. Should you even go to grad school? Which I don't think we have time to get into right now, but. Because I can talk your ear off on that, but if you do think you're going to go to grad school, or think you want to, and you can afford it, the time and all that stuff, definitely check out the Simon Fraser program.
So I just think of Brendan Fraser and the Mummy.
I know, right? Yeah, it's Simon Fraser is his dad. Brendan Fraser's dad. No, I'm just kidding. it's totally not true. So.
And now we just started internet rumor.
I know, right?
You're welcome.
I know. We'll have to get a meme. So hey, we got two more people up on the live stream. Sweet.
Neat. But before I forget, are there any kind of books, like maybe we can plug one of Tom King's books? I mean, does he do anything on report writing? Because I know everyone, every CRM company has like a whole bunch of his books laying around.
You know, I can't think of any specifically on report writing and things like that. That's not really his forte. His forte is more regulation and interpreting law and regulation and acts and things like that. And so
interesting. You ever thought about writing a book on report writing?
Yeah, actually. I think Bill White has also thought about that, or maybe is he partially even in progress on that? I don't know. But we've both talked about doing that, like archaeological report writing specifically.
Yeah.
You know, because there's plenty of books out there on writing.
Yeah.
There's plenty of books out there on even report writing. Technical writing. Yeah. But while it's like anything, you can learn a lot by reading the general books on the topic.
Yeah.
You know, if I want to know about audio editing, there's any number of resources out there about audio editing. But when it comes down to editing a podcast for the Archaeology Podcast Network, I've developed my own style. You know, so I've developed my own ways and workflows to do that. If you take my podcasting courses, if you watch them online or you happen to be here in Reno, you're going to hear my take on the subject.
Or it's like Apple with the App Store. They probably have like style guidelines and stuff like that for how it's supposed to look for apps. Yeah. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. They have definitely guidelines.
Yeah.
Maybe not style guidelines. They have style
interesting because Android recommendations. Because Android does when they license the software.
Yeah.
When they, they license it.
Well, I know they have recommendations on stuff, and if your app just completely fails, then obviously they're not going to approve it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, it's kind of getting off the rails on that one.
That's true.
But I don't know. They do have guidelines, and you have to follow them to a point. But it's the same thing as any agency for report writing. You know, they have report writing guidelines.
So basically, it's just kind of like when you like assign to write a report, you're like, they're just like here.
Yeah.
And then you're just like on a bicycle. ride a bike.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's more like sinking or swimming.
Yeah, well, and the bigger companies will, like that last company we worked for.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd done some report writing in the past, but I hadn't for that company.
Yeah.
So just like all other archaeology companies, even if you've got tons of experience, they're going to piecemeal the stuff to you because they don't know you.
Yeah.
So I was tasked to do just little sections of things before I was handed my own project.
Interesting. You know, like what?
I don't know, like to do the cultural background, which is basically taking the boilerplate from other areas, doing the research from other projects around that area.
Yeah.
And basically seeing if the company had its own projects in that area, then you could legally plagiarize your own report, your own company's reports, and just drop it right in there. But then also, I happen to, because I listen to podcasts and stuff, actually, I had knowledge. Like, it was right around the time that the Paisley Cave stuff was coming out from Oregon.
I remember that.
Yeah, so the whole paleo section of the cultural background was completely not updated because of that information. So I did some research and I updated that boilerplate. So not really that big a deal. Plus also they'll have you do things like the methods section. There's always a methods section that says who was out there, what dates were you out there, what equipment did you use? You know, it's got to be reproducible because it's still science.
Yeah.
Supposedly. I know. Those are just stats sections though. It's basically like who, what, where, when, why, and how.
Interesting.
Yeah. The conclusions are almost universally going to be written by the PI or the PA.
Really?
The project archaeologist or the project manager, whatever you call yourself, or the PI.
Interesting.
It's not the PI in like a larger company. They're not going to write anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, probably the project manager, they're going to write all their conclusions. So, because that's the fun stuff. And that's what they're paid to do.
Yeah. That's what they get to present on.
Yeah. That's why they get the big bucks.
God, so. I just thought about it. Like, that's how I learned graphic design. Help me out on a report.
Yeah. Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh, man. And then I remember your incomplete, was it section drawing of that trench? Because we were going to do it later.
Yeah, we never did.
Yeah.
And I hear somebody did it from a photograph. Yeah, after I left that company. Because we took pictures. You know, we made sure we had those, and then somebody drew it from a photograph.
Because I remember I had to do the graphic design for it, and like, where was the rest of it?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you drew it from a photograph.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, my God, how that's so long ago. That's crazy when I think about it. Like, I'm not sure, obviously, the audio audience isn't going to be able to see this, but this is the first year with the field school.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know why I wore it today, other than the fact that it was clean. But for those of you who are watching on live or YouTube, it's like, it says 2007.
Nice.
And 1080p, unless Facebook Live doesn't do 1080p.
No, it's not, because my front camera doesn't do 1080p. I think it's 720.
Oh my God. So, I thought Apple was supposed to be better at everything.
I know. But if I turned around, I couldn't see it. So anyway, we're at about an hour on the audio.
Oh,
so,
we definitely are.
And I'm in Civil Air Patrol and we've got a whole game night tonight I've got a plan for. It's just a fun family thing. I actually have about 7 or 8 of my Monopoly games in the back of my truck. This other woman brings all these other tabletop games, and I'm like, I love Monopoly. I don't care if you do or not. I'm bringing it.
Wait, no Civil Air Patrol D&D group?
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah.
Should be one.
I know. So, anyway, so I've got to go there, and I've got to go to Costco and pick up 10 pizzas and a bunch of other stuff.
Cool.
And then go do that. So, next week when you hear us, hopefully we'll be recording that. I'd like to record at least a portion of this on the road, and we'll see if we can't just tie that into maybe a video recording the next day or something.
Interesting. You can always obviously the phone just goes on the dashboard, and then I've got a setup for this.
Yeah. Well, I've done Facebook Live from my phone before for the APN just for short things. The only problem I'm worried about is signal. You know, if we're traveling down the highway, you're constantly bouncing towers, and
that's
you could
true.
drop the signal pretty easily. So maybe we'll do a short thing.
True.
On the way back, and just for Facebook Live, and then record a full episode in audio.
Yeah.
So it won't sound nearly as good. We won't have these microphones. We won't have that mixer.
We'll have something.
Yeah, we'll have something. We'll have
hopefully your truck's quieter than mine, because when I tried to do it with my truck, I still have the super noisy tires.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got the H4M, which you can turn the gain down on, and that's usually pretty good. So we'll figure it out.
Yay.
Anyway, anything to close?
Not really, other than the fact that I was up till 4 a.m. this morning watching Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's what you do when you got your day off.
I can't help it.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for the live stream. Be sure, if you're watching this recorded on either Richie's channel or on the Facebook channel here, leave some comments. And if you...
Totally.
We're going to try to do this at 3 p.m. every Friday.
Yeah.
And we'll put announcements out on the... I put up a post on the APN page today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, just saying, hey, we're going to be live. It was about 1 o'clock.
Oh, suddenly I feel like I should be doing that too.
I know, you should be. So
shoot. All right.
So I'll try to warn you if I remember that we're going to do that, but we're going to try to do this, like I said, at 3 p.m. But don't worry about it, because the video gets recorded. The only reason I would want you to watch this live is so we can eventually interact with questions on the feed. So that'd be really cool.
Hopefully maybe there's better internet in here.
Yeah, we're working on that in here. Just so people know real fast, we're in this isolation booth at the Collective that used to be a recording booth.
Yeah.
And it's specifically designed to dampen or attenuate signals coming in and out.
Yeah.
So the Wi-Fi is actually having kind of a hard time getting into the building.
And I don't have enough data.
Yeah, and he's got a data problem. So anyway, that's it for me. Thanks for listening. And if you're listening to this on the audio, then the membership site is live.
Really?
For APN.
What's the address?
arcpodnet.com/members. So you can see, you can sign up on any page because they added this little login sign up thing to all the APN pages.
Oh man, you should have had that written out or some sort of sign to hold up.
I know. But if you go to /members, you'll see the different three tiers of membership that we have. And you can always upgrade or downgrade, and there's a 14-day free trial. So
really?
I'm not going to send you a freaking t-shirt and a coffee mug until the end of your 14 days. But in fact, for anybody listening to this in July, we're not sending anything until August. We need to get this worked out first, right? So, but you will get stuff if you're getting stuff.
Because
every level gets something. The very first level gets an APN sticker.
Oh my God, an APN safety vest.
We'll have to work on that. The second level gets, you know, an APN sticker plus some show stickers. I think it's 5.
Yeah.
And then the third level gets all the show stickers, which we haven't even made yet. They get all the show stickers, a coffee mug, and a t-shirt. And then as we add more swag throughout the year, you'll get something automatically just
as part of the membership. An APN hard hat.
Oh my God. you put your sticker on there and every hard hat becomes an APN hard hat. So, all right. Well, I'm going to rudely stand up for the Facebook audience and put my stomach in front of the camera so I can shut it off. But, cause there's no remote way to do that.
True.
But for the audio audience, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. And for the YouTube audience, farewell, junior archaeologist.
Thanks for listening to You Call This Archaeology. Send comments and topic suggestions to chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
Check us out most weeks on Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific on facebook.com/arcpodnet to join us in the live recording.
Thanks for listening.
This show is produced by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle and was edited by Chris Webster.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.